This is Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. So we got to the last four lines of Kuf Chaf Amri Beis. The Gemara is going through a discussion of the Gzer Shava Zeh Adavar to find the source of Shlosh Hadyotos for Hafash Nadarim, the connection to Shchutei Chutz. And the Gemara had left us off telling us that according to Beis Shammai, who doesn't hold of Ein Sheil BeHekdesh, you cannot undo Hekdesh. So then the question was, he doesn't hold the Zeh Adavar Gzer Shava anymore. And now the Gemara asks the last four lines, will the Beis Shammai do less like Gzer Shava? He doesn't have a Gzer Shava of Zeh Adavar. So Hafaras Nadarim Bishlosh Adyotas Menalahu. Because in the context of Hafaras Nadarim, it only says the words Rashi Matos, but it doesn't tell us anything about Shlosh Adyotas. That's only learned from Shchutei Chutz. But he doesn't have that Gzer Shava anymore. So Shlosh Adyotas Menalahu, how does he know? So Gemara says, Nafkalahu Mitatani for the following Braisa. The Braisa is going to be very cryptic, so just go with it. Then the Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara says, "Midatanya vaydaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael." The pasuk says, and Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer. So what's Moadei Hashem telling us? So the Gemara is Midai going on to Kuf Chaf Aleph. Moadei Hashem Nemu Shabbos Breishis Lo Nemra. So Moadei Hashem is spoken and Shabbos is not mentioned. So the Gemara is going to ask, what exactly does this mean? But the Gemara is going to wait for that. Benazi Omer Moadei Hashem Nemru Hafarsa Darim Lo Nemru. This is only talking about Moadei Hashem, but nothing else. So still, it requires explanation. So Yosi Bar Nasa Negamri Lei L'Hai Masni. So Yadam Asar, remember, they memorized Brises, but they didn't always understand the Brises. So Yadam Asar, he knew this Brises by heart, but V'lo Yada Lei Lefrusha, he didn't know how to explain it, what it meant. So Azo Basri, the Rav Sheshis Lenar Harda, V'lo Ashkecha, he tried following, heard Rav Sheshis was in Harda, chased him down, and he couldn't find him. Azo Basri LeMechuzah, he chased him further to Mechuzah, Ashkecha, finally he pinned him down, and he was able to ask Rav Sheshis, Amar Lei Mai Moadei Hashem Nemru, Shabbos Bereishis Lo Nemru. What is this pshat in this brisa? So Rav Sheshis explains him, Amar Lei, Moadei Hashem Tzrichim Kiddush Bezdin, but Shabbos Bereishis Ain't Tzrichim Kiddush Bezdin. So only Moadei Hashem require Kiddush. We'll see in a second what that means, but Shabbos doesn't require Kiddush Bezdin. Kosak Adai Techamina, I would have thought, Hol V'Ksiv Gavi Moado, since Shabbos is mentioned in the Parshas Emor, in the context of all the other Moados, Tibai Kiddush Bezdin Kimoados. It also requires some level of Kiddush. Kamash Milan, it does not require any Kiddush. So let's look at the Rashbam for an explanation. So, right, so Rashbam is going to explain most of this stuff. So Rashbam says the very top line here, Moadei Hashem Tzrichim Kiddush, Shayu Mekadshin Es HaChodesh Al Pi Ariya. Right, whenever they'd see the new moon, that's Al Pi Ariya, when they saw it, so then the Eidim would come to Bezdin, and they declare the new month. So once we know when Alf Nisan is, so then we could obviously figure out 2 weeks later it's going to be Pesach. The Yomtivs themselves, they weren't Makadish the Yomtiv. Once they established Rosh Chodesh, it just ended up happening. So that's how they explain it. Now they quote, the Rishon quote Rabbeinu Hanano that says, even the Moadim requires some level of Kiddush Bezdin as well. Now, they don't explain why that is, how that is, but even the acknowledgement of today or tonight going to be Pesach, that's an inyan of Kiddush Bezdin, which goes against the other Rishonim, but there's some level of being Mekadesh Yontif itself, Lefi Rabbeinu Hanano. So that's the Kiddush Bezdin we have with respect to the Moadim. Now jump down to Shabbos. It's around 7 narrow lines down in Rashbam. Shabbos, Bereishis Eino Tzricha Kiddush, Kein Hashem Mekadshin Hamados Aide Kiddush Rosh Chodashim. The way that through Rosh Chodesh is the way you're Mekadesh the Moed. Ein Mekadshin Ach Echad Shabbos Lios Shvi Shal Shabbos. Interesting Havamina. So Rashbam says, what's a Havamina? Maybe Sundays. You should say, we're going to Mekadesh Sunday, the first day of the week, and then the seventh day is going to be Shabbos, which is a fascinating Havamina. El Liolam, this is not the case. Liolam Yom Shvi Shabbosi below Kiddush Bezdin. Bezdin is not involved. It's always going to be the seventh day of the week. Benaf Galan has learned out, Midichsev Moadei Hashem Yisayir. There's an extra word here. The Matil Mechta of the Pasuk could have said, Eilash Yetzukrosam Mikrai Kodesh. Why did it say Moadei Hashem? The Stavka Moadei Hashem requires a Mikrai Kodesh, a Kiddush Bezdin, but Moadei Shabbos, rather Shabbos, doesn't require.
Maybe that's what Rabbi Hanan said, Shabbos, because otherwise it's very difficult to explain. Meaning, if you hold like Rabbi Hanan that you have to make Makdish Yontev, then you also, it would make sense that you have to Makdish Shabbos, the way he said it. But otherwise, you're talking about two different. One is Mekadesh Echoyedish, and the other one is. It's just say today is Sunday.
No, the first day of the week. Meaning when it comes to Yom Tov, it goes based on the first day of the month.
But the whole shot is that they're Mekadesh the Chodesh because they're the Eidim, not because you know that it's
I'm saying so, but for Shabbos, where would the Eidim ever be for Shabbos?
They wouldn't, that's right. What I'm saying. So that's why, in a way, maybe Rabbi Hananel said that you have to make this yontif to make it come.
That's what you're saying. Since there are no Eidim, Shabbos, you can't, there's no need for Eidim ever. Right. Wait for sunrise or you know, but right. Shabbos.
So maybe he meant that because that's how they put in one and one together.
Uh-huh. You know, the question of Rabbi Hananel is we never see anywhere where Bezdin's involved in the Kiddush or the Moed, though.
No.
That we don't see. So I hear the point, though. Fine. So then the Rashbam says at the end of this Dibra Maschil, Shabbos Bereshis Kari LeShabbos. Why do you refer to this as Shabbos Bereshis all the time? Bishum Techol Noados Nami Ksivin Vehu Shabbos Shabbason. Parsha Emor also refers to Yantav as Shabbos Shabbason. So how do you distinguish between a regular Shabbos and a Moed Shabbos? Hilkach Kari LeShabbos Bereshis. That's how we refer to a Stam Shabbos. Shemukudeshes Uba Misheshes Me Bereshis. It was already sanctified from the creation of the world. So it's Kaddosh from Shabbos, from Bereshis. Ma'aseh Bereshis, Bries Olam is when it all started. So that's why we refer to a Stam Shabbos as a Shabbos Bereshis. Okay, now the Gemara says, now that was all according to the first Man Damar in the Brice, Rabbi Yosef Lili. It says, Mo'ad Hashem, and Nemra, Shabbos Bereshis, Lo Nemra. But what about Ben Azai? So now, my Mo'ad Hashem Nemru, but Afaras Nadam Lo Nemru, Mo'ad Lo Nemru. So Gemara explains that Moad Hashem Tzrichen Mumchin. When you're coming to be Mekadesh, whether it be the Rosh Chodesh according to the Rashbam or the Yontif according to Rabbeinu Chananel, you require Mumchin. Mumchin, we said yesterday, was referring to a Baki B'Gemara. I had mentioned this other sage, someone who is a Samach who has Smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. But you need Mumchin to establish a Kiddush of a Chodesh of a Moed. But Hafar Saddam doesn't require anything. Hafar Saddam ain't Tzricha Mumchin. You can have any three people, any three Jews, to do Hafar Saddam like we saw yesterday. So this is the source for Beisham, and that's why we brought this Braisa. That any Shloshe Adyotos, because Dafka Moadei Hashem require Mumchin, Hafar Saddam doesn't. So Gemara asks, Vaha Rashi Amatos Ksiv? Rashi Amatos sounds like people who have status. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'Yachin Mumcha. Rashi Amatos, that stature is going on someone who is a Yachin Mumcha, so if he's a Mumcha, so he could do a Afaras Adarm on his own. But if he's not a Mumcha, so then Shlosha Hadyotas would be sufficient. You don't require Mumchin for three individuals. That's what we learn from here. And so this is the source for Beishama, who doesn't learn from Zayadavar. He learns it from this Shrasha we just made of Ben Azai. Okay, the Gemara now says, Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us is bring.
Sorry, where does he learn about Shabbos? About the difference between
Not sure where he learned that from. I'm not sure. The Gemara doesn't ask what he does, right. How he learned the other source. It could be just understood. Maybe what you were saying, there's no need for Shabbos. There's no Eidim. What would you have?
I guess
it could be that.
Top Tosos.
Let's see. Tosos says on top of Shabbos, Bereishis, Einat Tzricha Kiddush Bezdin. Vim Tomar, Dibisov Per Kamet Kedushin, Nafkalam Midichsiv, Moshe Seichem, Damrin and Hasam, Moshe Stikhazer Rahman Lagavi Shabbos Lamali. Why did it say Moshe Seichem by Shabbos? It's Rechtak Dachem Mina Holve, Binyana de Mados Ksive, Tibai Kiddush Bezdin, Kamados. Kamash Malan, it says Moshe Seichem. It always exists. There's no need, nothing ever changes. It's always established no matter where you are, no matter when you are, it always exists. So that could be where it comes from. Now Tosis is asking this as a question, though. He says, but what do you need a source here of Moad Hashem Nemru, but Shabbos Bereshit Lo Nemru? We already have a source of Moshe Seichem, which tells us Shabbos always exists and nothing ever changes. So Tosis answers, Yesh Lomar, the Drasha Dehasim Asa Ki Ben Azai, what your question and answer, Ben Azai, who doesn't have the Drasha of Moad Hashem, he uses Moad Hashem for Afar Sadarm, he uses the Drasha of Moshe Seichem, again, Ki Ben Azai Dehacha, the Moad Hashem Nemru, Afar Sadarm Lo Nemru. Inami, alternatively, Afila Rabbi Yosef Glili, even Rabbi Yosef Glili, who does Darshan Moad Hashem Nemru, Shabbos Bereshis Lo Nemru, even he could hold to that Gemara and Kedushin, how so? Because Tzrichan Trey Krai, you need two psukim. Why? Dilo Kasav Elachad, if you only had one pasuk, Lo Hava Mimatin on Ela Mumchin, you only exclude Mumchin, but maybe you could have Shloshe Hedyotos would be needed to create a Shabbos. So Kasav Krachwina, the other pasuk tells me, Limute Afila Hedyotos, you don't need any form of Bezdin to establish a Shabbos, even for Rabbi Yosef Glili, so that's how he answers your question. Fine. Gemara now quotes the Mishnah, Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah that appears at the end of Maseches Tainis, it's a very well-known Mishnah. So the Mishnah says the following din. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, lo hayu yamin tovim li Yisrael, kichamisha asar ba'av, ukiyom ha-kipurim. There is no greater yontif like these 2 days of the year, Tu Ba'av and Yom Kippur, shebehen benos Yushalayim yotas b'kli lavan, she'ulin, shelavai, shezmisha ein lo. that the woman would go out wearing white clothing, borrowed white clothing, not to embarrass anybody who doesn't have. Even the wealthy would borrow white clothing. This way everyone would borrow, no one would know who doesn't have any money. So these were the two greatest Yamim Tovim of the year. So a number of questions the Ritva asks here. Ritva asks, number one, don't we have the Gemara in Sukkah that tells us that Simchas Beishueva, Misha L'ra, Simchas Zulo Hara, Simcha Miyamav? That sounds like the Simchas Beishueva is the greatest Yom Tov you could ever imagine. And the Ritva answers that the Simchas Beishueva was exclusive to, firstly, in Makom, in the Beis HaMikdash only, and to individuals of Tzadikim and the Kohanim Levim only. As opposed to Tuba of Yom Kippur was for the Hamun Am, for across the world, every single person, that's why it's considered a greater Yom Tov. Yes, and the greatest Simcha may have been the Simchas Beishueva, but not all of us get to partake in that. So that's what the Gemara here is referring to. What's the greatest Yom Tov for everybody to be involved in? Well, that's Tuba Av, and that's Yom Kippur. Then the Ritva says, the famous understanding of why Dafka white clothing, because they're celebrating that they're clean of any chataim, they're of all averos, they're complete kapara, which of course is going to be symbolic of wearing the white clothing.
Isn't Mishalei Ra'os Simcha Zu? In other words, it's not the chat people who are being Simcha, it's people who are watching the Simcha.
Yeah, so therefore you see it, that's the greatest Simcha, though. If you didn't see that Simcha...
It's seeing it. In other words, it's the ones who are experiencing it in Tzadik and the Pehanim, but the ones who are seeing it is Hamaynam.
And therefore what?
I don't hear the Sushtel. In other words, you want to say that over here it's for everybody, but the whole Indian of that Gemara is saying, Mishalei Ra'u, it's on the people watching the Simcha.
Right, but they're not experiencing. Right, but they didn't experience. Not standing out and seeing a basketball game is not the same as the adrenaline you have playing the basketball game. So yeah, it's a tremendous excitement to watch these basketball players play, but you're not experiencing it firsthand. But in Yom Tov of Tuba, where everyone's going out to the field and everyone's getting the kapara of Yom Kippur, that's a greater sense for the Hamunam. Okay, so the Gemara says now, after establishing this din of Tuba Av and Yom Kippur. So Bishlama makes sense, Yom HaKippur, and we understand why that's such a great day, because Yom Slicha Mechila, Yom Shinasna Baluchos HaRachronos, we receive the second Luchos, we all get a clean slate, that's a very exciting day, this makes a lot of sense. Ella, the question becomes, what about Chamisha Sabahav, Mahi, what's so great on Tu B'Av, what exactly happened? So we're going to see like 6-7 different explanations, same Gemara that appears in Tainus, what happened on Tu B'Av. So number one, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebazet. And that's why we bring this drasha here, my darsh, what was the drasha? Ze davar, the pasuk says, davar ze lo yehenog ela bedor ze. So they figured out the drasha that this iser of marrying with another shvatim only applied for that dor hamidbar, and that was it. So they discovered this in Tu B'Av, that's when the Heter actually kicked in, and therefore that was the greatest great Simcha of Tu B'Av. That was the first pshat. And again, that's why it's here in this sugya. Number two, comes along Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shehuter Sheva Bin Yamin, Lavo Bakal. That's when Bin Yamin, after the story of Pelegish Begiva, where everyone cut themselves off from Bin Yamin, then there was permitted for them to marry into the rest of Am Yisrael. Dichsiv, the pasuk says in Shoftim, V'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah. They took a shvua nishba. Lemor ish mimenu lo yitain bita levinyamin l'isha. They all took a shvua that we can't give any of our child mimenu from us, any children, to Binyamin to marry. That was the deal they made. So then the Gemara says, my darish, what was the drasha? Mimenu v'lo mi binyano, binyanenu, b'banenu rather. Not from us, but from our children. Our children can pass on their children to get married. So that shua only was on the people living. So that shua had ended, apparently Tu B'Av is when the children now, I guess, had their own children who were of marriageable age and were starting to allow them to marry within the Shevet of Binyamin. So that was the excitement that took place. Right, so that's when they all died. So now the next generation, they had children who were of marriageable age, and that's when they hit.
So what I told you the other day that they grabbed them.
Right.
Because of the shvua.
As the shvua was over.
Meaning no, that was while the shvua was still kayemes, and the hachamim weren't able to make for it. So the way they solved it is that they allowed the men just to grab them as opposed to allow the kids.
But
to,
after this point, it was permitted, and there's no need for grabbing. It was
so that's how
consensual.
That they took from.
Okay. Now Rashbam points out here in Dibur Maschil Yom Shehuta Sheva Binyamin, he says Kol Hanecha Marayu Lo Pligi. All the different opinions we saw and that we're going to see, no one's arguing. It all happened in Tu B'Av. Elamar Gamrile Mirabi V'Mar Gamrile Mirabi. They heard different reasons, but all these different things happened on Tu B'Av. So that was the second thing, that everyone was permitted to marry off into Sheva Binyamin. The third understanding is, the Gemara says, Rabbi Dimai Bar Yosef Amar Rav Nachman Yom Shekalubo Meisei Midbar. When the Meisei Midbar sees to stop, they see is dying, Rashbam goes through a whole medrash that we know that they dug their own graves, and they went to sleep that night. Whoever woke up, whoever didn't wake up, and they did a tally, and one year, the final year, then Tu B'Av, they went to sleep and everybody woke up, nothing was missing, and that happened Tu B'Av, so that was the tremendous celebration on Tu B'Av. Damar Mar, the last line of the Amud, Ad Shlo Kalu Meisei Midbar, before the Meisei Midbar stopped dying, the Gemara says in Amud Beis now, Lo Haya Dibor Im Moshe. Moshe wasn't able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenemar, as it says, Vayhi Kasher Tamu Kol Anshe Milchama Lamus Mikerv Am, when they stopped dying from amongst the nation, then it says right afterwards, Vaydaber Shem Eli Lemor, so Eli Haya Dibor. To me, the Dibor came back. After they died, it came back. So it seems like there's a double celebration here. Number one is that everyone stopped dying. Number two is Moshe had that direct conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. So look at the Rashbam on the very top of Amud Beis here. Lo haya dibor im Moshe mipe al peh kibitchila. He wasn't able to speak directly, face to face, mouth to mouth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval im hutzrich li dibor, if he needed it, so then kagon b'maisa de korach, shaya acher maisim raglim, haya medaber al yidei malach o b'urum v'tumim. He had to use some means to speak indirectly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he didn't have the ability of peh al peh. Inami, alternatively, lo haya medabi mo elai de tzarech maisa tzarech lehem. Or maybe he did still speak when it was needed, but when it wasn't needed, it didn't speak. Which itself raises a fascinating question. That means Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem even when it wasn't necessary to speak to Hashem. That was a type of conversation that they had, which is amazing. So anyway, so that's what happened, that Dibor returned back to Moshe Rabbeinu after they stopped dying in the Midbar.
It seems that he didn't use the Lashon Vaydaber, it says Vayomer all the time.
So the Yomer apparently means an indirect type
right.
of speech, I guess.
But
that's what the Rashbam says in the very next line here. He says, Eli haya dibor, dimatil mechta vayomer shem Eli. Tichsiv leel, vayomer shem Eli. Tatsir esimoe, moav, inami, b'nesam chupan. That's the first shot. The fact that it says dibor as opposed to vayomer indicates a more direct speech. Okay. Gemara now says, so that's the third shot I think we're up to. Now this is the fourth shot. Ula amar, Yom Shebitel Bo Hoshea Ben Eila Pardesos Hashoshiv Yeravam Al Hadrachim Shaloyalu Yisrael Arega. So Yeravam set up these different stations here, these shomim, these guards, in order to avoid, ever after they split the nation up, he didn't want them going to Yerushalayim to Ali the Regel. He was the king of the other area, of Yisrael. So he wanted to stop them from doing that, so he set up little posts to avoid that from happening. So this was the time, then Tu B'Av, that when Hoshea ben Ela came along and he got rid of these different posts and able to go Ali the Regel whenever they wanted, and particularly on the Regalim. And now the next shot is Rav Masna. Rav Masna says, Amar Yom Shenitna Haruge Beitar Likfurim. That's when Beitar, the people who were killed in Beitar, were allowed to be buried. Damar Rav Masna, O Sayom, that day Shenasnu Haruge Beitar Likfurim. Tuknu biyavne hatova meitiv. They established to say the special bracha, the fourth bracha that we add in benching. Hatov shul esrichu. The one number one good is that the bodies didn't go bad. They didn't decompose. The meitiv. Another the thing is shenat the kavur. They allowed them to be buried as well. So that happened on Tu B'Av, and that was the great celebration. And then Rabbi Rav Yosef Damer Tevayu. Both of them hold. Yom Sheposkimbo Milichros Eitzim L'Maracha. When they stopped cutting the wood for the Maracha, there's no need for it anymore. Let's read a little further, then we'll go through a Machlokas Rashbam and Rabbi Nechanan in just a second. So Tanya, that Rabbi Eliezer Gadol Omer, Kevin Shegiya Chamisha Sabav, once Tu B'Av came around the year, Tashash Kochel Shechama, the sun wasn't as strong, it started to get weaker now. Lohayu Korsin Eitzim L'Maracha, they wouldn't cut any of the wood anymore. So look at the Rashbam here. It's not a bold Rashbam here, but right around where we are in the Gemara, it's a two dots. It says Minisan of Atubav, Hayu Korsin Eitzim Latzarach Hamaracha L'Chol Hashana. They cut the lumber they needed for the year because again they wanted dry wood. The dry wood obviously lights better. So that year, that summer is very hot. Umikan ve'elach, from after Tubav, Tashash Koach Hachama, the sun weakens. V'yesh Beitzim Lachluchas U'Malan Ashem, and some have some moisture which causes smoke. Vigami gada tolas, and then it starts to also get bad, whether it's mold or worms or the wood isn't good anymore. And kedamrina b'medrash eicha, Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Yosi Omer Shabo kalas man katita l'mizbech. Okay, so anyways, this was the end of the completion. So look at the end of the Rashbam. Keep going, Rashbam. I don't want to read every line here, but of this Rashbam, it says, so what was the celebration? Why were they so happy? So he stopped cutting the wood. What great, big deal. They completed a mitzvah. So now this is a very important Rashbam. When they all talk about where is the source of making a seam on a masechta when a person learns, so they point to the Rashbam. Whenever you complete a mitzvah gedola, which includes a masechta, it's based on the Nemuki Yosef also takes this Rashbam and it speaks about a seam on a masechta. This is the source for whenever you complete a mitzvah, whether it be a gemara, whether it be a daf, like the famous Rav Moshe Feinstein, where the Baal Tshuva went and he completed a daf yomi for him, which was so, so hard, that was worthwhile making a scene, there, Rav Moshe says, because that for him was a mitzvah gedola, one daf of gemara, it took him a whole year. So every time there's a mitzvah gedola, there's an inyan of making a seim, and a simcha, and a suda, based on this gemara here. That was a celebration lefi the Rashbam. But look at Rabbeinu Gershom now. Rabbeinu Gershom writes, the top line here, I assume we all have it in the top line on the right side, outside of the page. He says, they couldn't learn while they're busy doing work. Now their job was done for the year. They worked 5 months of the year from Nisan until Tu B'Av, and then they got to learn the rest of the time. That was a celebration, he says. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Menashe, that's right, Menashe, the Karle Yom Tavar Magal. That's called Tavar Magal, the day where you break the axe, because the axe, we don't need to cut any wood anymore. That was the name of the day. And Mikan Ve'elach, from this point on, the Mosef Yosef, those who add on, add on. Shena Mosef Yosef, those who don't add on, well, Yosef was Yasemin. My Yosef asks the Gemara, Tani Rav Yosef, Tikvari Ime. His mother's going to bury him. So what's going on here? So look at the Rashbam. Rashbam writes, if you look around eight narrow lines up, Mitu Ba'av Ve'elach the Mosef Min Alayla, where the nights begin to get longer now, Al Hayom, Lishnos Yosef Yamin. So now a person should start learning, it's adding on to the days. In the nights are getting longer. In the days are getting shorter. They have to learn at night as well. So all the person who is most of learning, Yosef, he's going to get greater schar. But the lomos, if the person who does not add on to his learning schedule, Yosef is going to be buried by his own mother. Pretty strong, okay? Gemara now says, Tanu Rabban. The Braisa tells us that Shiva Kaflu that's called Olam Kula. Between seven people, they span the entire length, entire time rather, of the world. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says as follows, that Misushelech Ra Adam, so Adam was the first person, Misushelech Sa Adam, Shem Ra Misushelech, so then Shem observed Misushelech, they cross paths, Yaakov Ra is Shem, Amram Ra is Yaakov, Achia Shiloni Ra is Amram, Eliyahu Ra is Achia Shiloni, Vadain Kaim, and Eliyahu is still alive. Between all seven people, they witnessed the entire history of the world. So the Gemara, first before you do that, look at the Rashbam. Rashbam says, around halfway down the Rashbam's in the wide lines, it says, Achia Shiloni Ra is Amram, Veliyahu Ra is Achia Gemara. This is all a tradition that we have, there's no sources for this. V'hai Tana, this Tana holds Lo Svir Le Eliyahu Ze Pinchas. They don't hold Pinchas as Eliyahu, because Dim Isa, if it is Pinchas as Eliyahu, Lema Moshe Ra Amram, U Pinchas Ra Moshe, V'dain Hikayim. V'lo Yitzrich Le Achia Kla. You could have said six people. You could cut Achia out of the picture. Who knows Achia? We don't know who Achia is. Cut him out of the picture. Use Pinchas and Moshe. Then you have people as well. That's what Rashbam suggests. Look what Tosas writes. Shiva Kaflu Kola Olam. He says, "Hi, Tana Saver Deliyahu Lo Havi Pinchas." Like Rashbam says, "Do you have a Pinchas? Bebatzir Mishiva Hava Matzil Lashkuche Diayira Yaakov Ira Pinchas." I get a different calculation slightly. Now, Saver Nami Hi Tana De Serach Bas Asher Einechai Eliyolam. Because if you hold Serach Bas Asher lived forever like Eliyahu, so that would also shorten the path. Serach saw Yaakov, and then that was it. And then she saw the rest of the world. That would shorten the list much further. So there are a number of assumptions that are made in this brisa. Okay. Gemara now says, V'achia Shiloni Ra is Amram. Is it really true that he saw Amram? V'haksiv, doesn't the Pasuk tell us, V'lo no sar mehem ish, kim kala ben yifun av Yeshua ben Nun. So no one else went to Eretz Yisrael other than these two, Kalev and Yeshua. So Achia Shiloni was in the Eretz Yisrael, and he was a Navi in the times of Yeravam. So how in the world was he able to see Amram and live? No one made it through the Midbar than these two great individuals, Yeshua and Kalev. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Hamnuna, lo nigzra gzera al shiftel shalevi. It didn't apply to Levi. So Rashbam says that Achia Shalom was a Levi. He lived during the times of Amram and lived so long during the times of Yeravam as well, and he ended up seeing...
Amram was Niftar in Mitzrayim.
Right, so according to this...
He never left.
Right, so according to Achia Shalom, he was a Levi. He saw Amram. He lived for several hundred years, I guess. Not that good. I'm not sure how long until Yeravam, but he lived a long life. And how do we know that Levi wasn't subject to the Meisei Midbar? Because Dichsiv, B'midbar hazeh, Yiflu pigrechem v'chol pikudechem, v'chol misperechem, iben esim shana u'mala. So those who died were those who were counted from the age of 20 to the age and above, 20 and above. The Gemara's medayik. Mi shepikudav mi ben esim, yatsa shifta leshalevi, shepikudav mi ben shloshim. So only those who get counted at the age of 20. But Levi only gets counted from the age of 30, so they were not subject to this gezerah of the yiflu pigrechem v'chol pikudechem. So the Gemara says, so is it true that only Levi entered in? So now we have Shevet Levi entered into Eretz Yisrael, those who lived at least, not every Levi lived, I guess. They may have died just from natural causes, but none of them were subject to that gezerah. So Shevet Levi entered in, and Kalev and Yeshua entered in. But Mishar Shvatim lo Ya'ayel, but other Shvatim didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. V'atane, doesn't the Raisa tell us that Ya'ayel ben Menashe, Umachir ben Menashe, these two, Noldu be'yimei Yaakov, they were born during the times of Yaakov. This is before already the Shibud of Mitzrayim. Below Meisu Achin Nichnas, actually, I guess maybe not. Depends how you calculate when it started. Below Meisu Achin Nichnas Shel Eretz Yisrael. But they did not die till they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So they came from Menashe, but yet they entered Eretz Yisrael. So they were beyond Sheva Levi. Shenemar, as it says, Vayaku Mehem Anshe Ha'ai Kishloshim Ish, Shloshim Shvishish Ish. And they killed Anshe Ha'ai, had wiped out from Am Yisrael around 36 people. So Tani, the Baraisa comments. Shloshim v'shishim mamish divrei Rabbi Yehuda. They killed 36 people. Mamish. So it comes along, Amar lei Rabbi Nechemya, v'chi nemar shloshim v'shisha, v'alo lo nemar ela ki shloshim v'shisha, like 36 people. So it wasn't 36 mamish. Ela, ze yari ben Menashe she'shakel keruba shel Sanhedrin. He was equal. He was so good, Yarbi. He was so strong, such great personality. He was equal to half of Sanhedrin, 36 people. So Gemara says, so we see he lived. Even though he was in the Midbar, he lived, made it through into Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Lo Nigzera Gzeira Lo Al Pachos Mi Ben She'esrim Lo Al Yesim Mi Ben Shishim. The Gzeira wasn't on anybody under the age of 20 and not anyone over the age of 60. And apparently, Yair Ben Menashe must have been older than the age of 60 when the Gzeira happened. How do we know it was only between the ages of 20 and 60? So the Gemara tells us, Lo Al Pachos Mi Ben Esrim. The gzeir wasn't on anybody under the age of 20. Dichsim mi ben esim shana v'mala, that's 20 years and up. V'lal yesim mi ben shishim gamar umala me'erchin. We have a gzeir shava from erchin. Mala halan yesim mi ben shishim kepachas mi ben esim. Just like the amounts of the values erchin and the values have for certain ages per gender. So above the age of 60 is like under the age of 20. So afkan so too when it comes to the whole gzeir of the midbar. Yesim ben shishim kepachas ben esim. Just like someone under the age of 20 was not subject to this gezera, so to someone above the age of 60 was not subject to the gezera either. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch that Gra says is learned out from this source. The Shulchan Aruch writes that when it comes to tainus, and when it comes to tainus on fast days for rain or any other tzara, so he writes that women and katanim and the elders are not subject to fast as part of the rest of the tzibur. Why not? Is it tzibur, tainus and the tzibur? So Gras says, based on this Gemara here, that the Gzeira of the Midbar only applied to the age of 20 and 60. Anyone younger than 20, even though it's really talking about 13 years old by the Shulchan Aruch, anyone who's too young is not part of the Gzeira, anybody too old is not part of the Gzeira, and Nashim as well were not part of the Gzeira either, and therefore they don't have to be part of the Tainus Tzibor when it comes to Geshamim and Shar Tzaros.
Do the woman over 60 have the same value? We looked at last week, that was in the last week's parsha, right?
Yeah, you have to look at that. I don't remember exactly.
The woman is not the same.
No, it's a different chart. It's a different chart for the men and women.
Right,
you're saying, but the woman 60 is different.
I think the woman 60 is worth more than the woman before that. I remember last week something.
There's a din that comes to the women as they get older. Their value doesn't decrease as much as men's.
Right. Yeah, because that was just a rush.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we'll stop here.